you're visiting with us this morning. We appreciate your presence and want you to feel welcome and to come back at each and every service. Not that we're in the entertainment business, but we hope that the worshiping God would be attractive enough to you and guide you and direct you to the spiritual things that you would want to come back. Fulfill that part in your life which may be very lacking. We direct your attention this morning to the title we have on the board. Put it up there so when we get through, if you don't know what we're talking about, it'll be up there and you remember. No. Form of a question. Who can you blame if you are lost? Does that sound peculiar in a worship service? Are you saying that everybody here is going to heaven, so why talk about it? Don't be so sure of that. In fact, it might be well for each of us to look at that and put I in there. Who can I blame if I am lost? I suppose we can say that we're living in one of the biggest buck-passing areas that people have ever lived in. People try to pass the buck, get out of punishment. If they're sent to life imprisonment, if you hear them or their friends tell about it, it was all a big, bad mistake. Really wasn't their fault. You hear that all the time. That's a cop-out. Trying to pass the buck and blame somebody else for it. They don't go to prison unless they're convicted of it. People try to pass the buck to ease their conscience, their guilt. But going to heaven isn't a matter of buck passing. And you and I will not be in heaven if we try to get there by passing the buck. We're going to have to look at it four square, face on, and look at reality. And we're going to have to be real if we make it to heaven. I want you to think about that term lost. And how many in this audience this morning never be in heaven? A little child out playing wanders off in the cornfield. It's really not that far from home. And it gets lost. And it nearly goes into shock. The crying, the terror when it realizes it doesn't know where it's at. And it doesn't know how to get back where it was. And it thinks of the possibility of all that was around it, all that security, all the people it knew may not be there anymore. Lost. And it's a terrifying experience. Maybe you've been out on the highway sometime and you've gotten lost and you didn't know where you were. You didn't have a map. Maybe you was in a town, you got lost, you couldn't find anybody, everybody was asleep, you didn't know where you were, didn't know how to get out of it. Do you remember the sensations? It's thrilling, wasn't it? Just when it finally dawned on you, you are lost. Up in Pennsylvania, I was deer hunting, cold snow on the ground. Daytime. I thought I knew where I was. That's like a lot of people. Until I'd walked, and finally looked down, and oh, somebody already's been here. I got to looking, it was my boot prints. All I'd done was just walked in one big circle. I wasn't going anyplace. I was lost. I didn't know where I was, didn't know how I got there, and didn't know where the cabin, the car, the other people were. Now listen, I know something about that great, wonderful sensation of being lost. A lot of people are just like that. They're going along. Maybe like me out there in the daytime. Yeah, I could see the trees. I could see everything around me. I could see. I wasn't blind. And yet I didn't know where I was. There's a lot of people like that. They're wandering around. They think they can see, and they don't know where they are and don't know where they're going until it finally comes and they're lost. They're shut out. The Bible describes it as weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, and that's an expression to indicate an utter, what, pain, agony? Will that be you? There's two types going to be lost. I think we all are aware of the first one, that's the alien sinner. The one that never has done anything about eternity. He's alien from God. His sins has made him alien from God, alienated him. He has no inheritance whatsoever. God isn't his father. Heaven's not going to be his home. He doesn't have a thing to look forward to beyond except the place that God prepared for the devil and his angels and the worst people on earth. He said, well, I don't deserve to go with the worst people on earth. Well, if you're lost, that's where you're going to be. Oh, I don't want to go where Hitler is. You'd be there. I don't want to go where those people that committed such atrocities and are so heartless will go. You'll be there. Won't be any difference. Second Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 speaks of his coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Is God vengeful? Absolutely. And when he comes, he'll not come as a savior. He'll not come as a friend. He will come as a vengeful God in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, don't know him, and them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That may get some of you here. You know about God, you know of him, you've never done a thing that he said to do. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon you. You're lost. Everything you had's gone. The second group, the unfaithful, or digressive, or wayward Christian. Second Peter, second chapter, verses 15 and verse 20. They have forsaken the right way. Now, you can't forsake it if you weren't in it, can you? talking about Christians. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Now, in verse 20 said, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, you remember when you were immersed and how happy you were that it's all gone, you're free now, you're Christian. Is that still there? Is it? Is that first love still there, or is it gone? If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled. You get entangled up in the wrong things, brother. And overcome. God said, it's not my words. The latter end for you shall be worse than the beginning. Now, I don't comprehend fully exactly what that means. I don't want to find out. But he says, brother, sister, if you're entangled and overcome, you're going to end up in worse condition than you were before you ever obeyed the gospel. And you were in bad shape then. You were lost then. That's the Bible. Galatians 5, verse 7, to Christian people, he said, you did run well. You were done pretty good. Who hath hindered you that you obey not the truth? Going the wrong way. You got turned around on the road someplace. Hebrews 10. 26 through 29. Of course, he said about this, you know, many of us remember this, forsake not the assembly, don't leave the church. Don't forsake its gatherings. For if we sin willfully after we receive knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's nothing else coming to save you. There won't be another Savior. There won't be another attempt made to save you. I want you to get it. You and I are going to face this. These will face us in the day of judgment. So we might just well face them now and do some good. It won't do any good up there to face them. There remains no more sacrifice. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy, with two or three witnesses. But how much sore punishment suppose ye shall ye be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Are you tramping Jesus under your feet today? You don't have much for him? You're not paying much attention to what he says? Tramping him. He says, I wouldn't do that. You are doing it. You're not paying attention to what he's doing, what he's saying. You count the blood of the covenant by which you're sanctified a common thing, and you've insulted the Spirit of grace. That don't sound very good to me. 1 Peter 4:17-18, the time has come that judgment, for judgment to begin at the house of God. But where? With the church. Oh, but I thought the judgment was going to be to the heathen, to the unchristian. No, judgment is going to begin right here with we Christians. Did you know that was in the Bible? Should. It's there. Time has come that judgment begins at the house of God. Oh, you see, Christians don't escape judgment. And if it begins with us first, we that are doing right, we that are really getting in there and doing what we're supposed to, if it begins with us, what will the end be of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved. You see, we don't get into heaven with abundance, with an overflow. Nobody's going to heaven with an overflow. If you and I get to heaven, it's going to be by the grace of God. And after we've done, you remember, all that God says we to do, just count yourself an unworthy servant. You've just done what he had a right to expect you to do. And if you go to heaven, it'll be because he's given you a gift. That's putting it where it belongs. Luke 14:26. Let's see what he requires of us. Let's see where I am. Let's see where you are today. If anyone comes to me, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, and you and I know what he's talking about here, loving God more, and doesn't hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot. Oh, isn't that strong? He cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, you can't be mine if you don't have that much love for me. Now, brother and sister, if you're beginning to play around and you like some things you shouldn't be liking, you better get straightened up real fast in your head. Because Jesus said, you can't be mine. You can't serve the Lord and serve the devil. You can't do it. You can't play both sides. You can't sit on the fence. You're going to have to get on one side or the other. That's what he's talking about. Verse 33 of chapter 14. So likewise, whosoever of you does not forsake all that he has, how much do you have? Whosoever does not forsake all, A-L-L, just three letters in, A-L-L, all that he has, cannot be my disciple. Now, you think everybody in church is going to heaven? Jesus says you can't even be one of mine unless you have this much love. So I've said all of that to say this. Those that have never obeyed the gospel, don't know God, are going to be lost. Those that never obeyed the gospel are going to be lost. And those in the church that don't have what it takes are going to be lost. How can I make it any plainer than that?
That's it. That's not about it, that's it.
Yeah, but suppose I'm lost. Who can I blame? Well, you can't blame God. You can't come up here the last day and say, God, I'm going to blame you. You're the blame for it. You didn't give me the chance. You didn't this. You didn't that. You can't do it. Can't blame God. While you were yet an enemy, he sent his son to die for you. He went about over the millenniums preparing to save you. God's not willing that any perish. It's not his will that you go to hell, so you can't say, God, it's your fault that I'm here in hell. God doesn't want you in hell. If you're there, it won't be because God wanted you there. Can you blame Christ? Mm-mm. He already paid the price so that your sins could be blotted out. Hebrews 2 verse 9. Romans 5, 6, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. Matthew 11, he invites all, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus wants any and all to come if they're willing to do it. If they're willing to do what it takes. Here it is. I'm offering it. Can't blame Christ. You can't blame the Holy Spirit. He inspired and confirmed the truth so that you'll know how to be saved. Didn't pull any punches about it. Told you all that you need to know to go to heaven. Didn't withhold a thing you need to know to go to heaven. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. Prophecy came not in old time of the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That's all of it you need. That the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Everything you need is right there. You got it. So you can't blame the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I told somebody the other day, if I go to hell, it's because of you. That's a cop-out if there ever was one. It won't be that way. When you say that, you're just using a cop-out to dodge your own responsibility. You'll never be in hell because of father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, houses, lands. And you can't even say the devil made me do it. Now let's look at some verses. I don't want you to take my word for it. Romans 14, 11 and 12, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue that yours shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself unto God. Earl's going to answer to God for Earl. John's going to answer to God for John. Mary's going to answer to God for Mary. Sue's going to answer to God for Sue. And you can't say John and Henry did it. You can't do it if you're lost. That's something wonderful about the gospel of Christ. You know, if we could say I'm going to hell because of somebody else, then my eternity is all dependent on if everything works right with somebody around me. And my going to heaven doesn't depend on whether everybody does what they should around me or not. My going to heaven depends on whether Earl wants to go there or not. That's the fact of it. Your going to heaven simply depends on whether you've got what it takes to go to heaven. If you don't, you're not going. Isn't that simple? Yeah, but that's hard. Well, that's just the way it is. Jesus himself said, many are called, and you know the rest of it. Few are chosen. How many warnings did he give us about it? Didn't have the wedding garments on, weren't prepared. Well, I could stand here all morning and talk about the warnings about those things. He gives us more warnings than anything else. Romans 2, 5 and 6. But in accordance with the hardness, your hardness and your impenitent heart, not John's and Henry's and somebody else's, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Let's get away from this idea that somebody said, but those buts would get you into hell. But a member of the church caused me to be lost. Uh-uh. No. By their actions, they may send themselves to hell because they didn't want to be what it takes to go to heaven. Well, I can read a lot of that in the Bible, and you can too. You remember starting with the elders on down. Call the elders together, and he says, now among your own selves. Oh, but the elders aren't doing right, and that's the reason I'm lost. Among the elders going to be men that won't do what they should do. They'll sell out to Satan. They'll turn the church over to things that shouldn't be turned over to. They won't have man enough about them to stand in there and fight for the Lord. But that's not going to cause you to go to hell. It's not going to cause me to go to hell. It may make it harder. Temptations, some of the hardships may be a little harder, but that won't cause me to go to hell. If I go to hell because Earl decided he wanted to go to hell. Look in the book of Revelation. I read that many times, and I see churches that I first looked at them, I thought, well, I don't know whether I could worship with congregations like that. You know what God said to the faithful? He didn't say quit. He didn't say leave. Now, what did he tell them to do? Should I tell you, or should I make you look it up, the book of Revelation? When he goes to the seven churches of Asia, and you look at some of the dastardly conditions, even harlotry, as you call it, and so forth, and he said, you better strengthen the things that are lacking and stand in there and fight. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say quit and give up. But someone didn't shake hands. Oh, yeah, that's really good to go to hell over, isn't it? Now remember, when you're in hell, it'll be you. It won't be somebody else. And that'll be one of the greatest thrills after you're there 10 billion years, look back and say, boy, I've gone through this suffering because somebody didn't shake hands with me, church. You're going to hate yourself all those billions of years you're already there, and then all the billions you got ahead of you for for letting little stuff like that keep you out of heaven because you didn't have enough love for the Lord to decide you wanted to go to heaven. Plain? You want me to pussyfoot around and speak soothing things and say it's not all so? Lie to you? Would that make hell a little better? Second Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, you, that each one may receive the things done in my body, your body, what you do, what I do, each one should give account of the things done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Way back in Jeremiah, you see, this is an eternal principle of God. Jeremiah 32:19. You are great in counsel and mighty works, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the Son of Man, to give to everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, everything you do is naked and open unto the eyes of God. Now, if you don't like it because somebody else knows what you're doing, you better stop and think. God knows everything you're doing all the time. And more than that, he knows what you're thinking and he knows what you're intending. So you better not think you're covering up to God because you're naked before God all the time. He knows exactly what you're doing in the dark, in the daylight. And when you think you have it covered up to everybody around you, God knows exactly all of it. Isn't that something? First Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality, no respect, no partiality, don't make any difference who you are, it's going to be the same all the way through, without partiality, judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Then he will reward each according to his works. Revelation 2:23. I will kill her children. Talking about the one played the harlot. You know, when you and I play around with Satan, that's harlotry in the church. That's fornication. You and I as Christians are married to Christ. And when you and I like the world and worldlings, well, you say, I wouldn't be a harlot. I wouldn't commit fornication. You already are. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. There it is. Now, if I read 50 more, it won't make a bit of difference, will it? One should be enough. One Bible verse ought to be enough. Hebrews 11. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want you to look at it. When you and I as Christians start to bellyaching about our hard lot, and we want to blame somebody else because we're not faithful and we're going to hell. Well, my son isn't what he ought to be. My daughter isn't what he ought to be. My wife isn't a faithful Christian. Oh, you've got it rough. Shame on you, weakling. That's a cop-out. You're already selling out to Satan. Hebrews 11:33. In fact, you ought to read the whole chapter of it, but just a few of the examples. You know, if God let me by, what's he going to do to these other people that really stood in there and went through it because they loved heaven enough to want to go there? Now, what have people done to go to heaven who's in your pew, who's in your seat, who's in the church? What have they gone through in the past? Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. You've been tortured? You got it rough, don't you? Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were stoned. Now God says, that's all right, I won't send you to hell because somebody insulted you at church. What's that going to do to somebody that stayed in there and was faithful because they were stoned to death and wouldn't deny the name of Jesus Christ? They wouldn't have anything to do with the word. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. Have any of your friends, any Christians you know of today, had a sword run through them because of the name of Christ? Wondered about sheepskins because it's Christians, goatskin, destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world wasn't worthy of them. These obtained a good testimony through faith. And they didn't receive the promise while they was living here. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let's quit that copping out. Sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now one more that just nails it down and doesn't leave any question about it. Why am I going to hell if I'm lost, if you're lost? James 1. Let no man, when he is tempted, say, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each is tempted. Now here's the heart of the whole thing. God's answer to you and to me. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires. He wants it. Get out here and let out a few cuss words. Who made you do it? The devil? No, you wanted to do it, he said. That's putting it where it belongs. You got out here in the dark and you committed fornication. How come you did it? You wanted to do it. And all you lacked was someone to put it in front of you so you could do it. But the sin was already there because the desire was there. Look at it. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, when you do it, It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's finished, when it's full grown, brings death. Hell. Now, I don't know how it gets any plainer than that. That's Bible. That's not my opinion. That's Bible. Matthew 5:19, out of the heart. Whose heart? Your heart. My heart. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man. Who can you blame if you're lost? Nobody. That's the answer. If you're in hell, how come you'll be there? Because you chose to be.
I could smooth that all over and make a sound hunky dory, couldn't tell you a lie about it, and it won't make hell a bit cooler. That's the fact. That's the way God put it. You're going to have to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And him more than anything else in the world, or you're not worthy of even being a father. And if you don't have it in your heart, it's because you've got heart trouble. How many here this morning has heart trouble and honest enough to admit it? You're loving the wrong thing. You don't love God enough to step out of the world of sin, of an alien sin, and become a Christian and say, God, I want to do this. You stay right there in that filthy, sinful world and choose hell. And when you go to hell, all you can say when you stand in that judgment, God can only do what he's doing. I give him no other choice. I chose to be here. I chose hell. It was my choice. And the Lord called in the church. And some will play around and try to play both sides, and their heart isn't right, and they got heart trouble, and they love the world, they love worldly things more than they love God. And they go to hell because they chose to do it. You're an alien sinner, you can come out of it. Repent. From a believing heart. If you don't believe God, you don't need to try. You'll have to have faith in what God says. And then turn away from sin, confess his name, and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. And if you're a Christian and you've got heart trouble this morning, you're still living in the dead grace and mercy. And God says you can come back and pray God. Thought of your heart be forgiven. See, he gets to the heart. If you got heart trouble, he treats heart trouble. And if you're not willing to do that, just don't go around saying you're going to heaven. But brother, if you've got heart trouble, our heart's desire is you come to Christ. Back to loving with all of your heart. Will you this morning? While we stand.